الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب دنياه أضر بآخرته ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, in the early 1960s, there was a young alim from South Africa who had qualified in Darul Uloom Deoband. And before coming down to his hometown, he went up to some of his ustads, some of his elders, to request them for advice on how to work in this country. So amongst the luminaries of the time was the name of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali advised him that since you are coming back to South Africa and you're seeking advice on how to work in this country, my advice to you with regards to the people of South Africa is that mashallah they have knowledge of deen. They are concerned about making their children into ulama and huffaz. They go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But if there's a weakness that I find in the people of South Africa, with which I will advise you today to go back home with, is go back and conscientize them with regards to akhirat. See, this is one weakness that I find in the people of this country, that as far as dini practices are concerned, alhamdulillah, they practice on it. But as far as consciousness of akhirat is concerned, then this is a weakness that I find within them. So this alim says, when I came back, then I made this the purport of my effort. And in every bayan that I gave, in every dars that I conducted, in every lesson that I sat with students, whether it was a ladies program or a youth program, whether I sat in a maktab and taught the children, I made sure in every program of mine, something about akhirat I would speak about and I would mention, to try and practice on this advice of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. And this alim was none other than the late Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Adam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Cape Town. Many people may have remembered in the old days, his lecture series would be such that there would be 10, 15, 20 cassettes on the qabr, on jannat, on jahannam. And in this way, his entire effort was focused on conscientizing people about akhirat. It is mentioned in one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, "Al-kayyis man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut." An intelligent person is that person who controls his desires and he prepares for the life after death. "Wal-ajiz man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allahi al-amani." And a foolish person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is that person who just follows his base desires. Whatever his nafs tells him to do, he'll just do that. And then he just has hopes that perhaps maybe I may just hit a jackpot in the akhirat. When a child enters the maktab at the age of 5 or 6 years old, then amongst the very first lessons that is taught to a child in the maktab is Imani Mufassal. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That from that small age, the child is being taught that there's a day that's going to come that's called Qiyamah. There's a life that's going to come that's called Akhirat. I'm not here to live forever in this world. It's a temporary life that I have. And I have to understand that I must prepare myself for the life that is coming, and that is the life of the Akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. This dunya Allah has created it for you. The rising of the sun,
the rising of the moon, the stars, the trees, the fruit, the vegetation, the animals, the birds, the clouds, and everything that is in this dunya, Allah says, الدنيا خلقت لكم. I have created this dunya to serve you, O man. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. But don't forget, you, I have created you for the akhirat. Allah says, the dunya I created to serve you, but you I have created you to serve me for akhirat. So a person mustn't forget his focus. He mustn't forget his direction. A person is playing a game of soccer. There's a goalpost. If all the members of the team are focused towards a goalpost, they have a goal, they're moving towards a direction. But take out the goalposts. Where are we kicking? Are we just going to tap the ball or hit the ball? Which direction are we going? There's no goal. The goal of a Muslim is his akhirat. He has a goal in front of him. He knows where he's heading. He knows the direction that he's going to. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, "Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi." That person who loves the dunya, he's definitely going to cause harm to his akhirat. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَضَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. And that person who loves the akhirat, he is definitely going to cause harm to his dunya. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Give preference to that which is everlasting and eternal over that which is temporary and is fleeting. In the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had begun the effort of da'wah in Makkah Mukarramah, then one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended a mountain called Mount Safa. For those who have been to Makkah Mukarramah, there is one ritual that we all perform is called Safa Marwa. There is one mountain that is called Mount Safa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended that mountain and he shouted out for the Quraysh, Ya Ala Quraysh. The Quraysh had all gathered around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them, O the people of the Quraysh, I ask you, that if I have to warn you, that behind me, behind this mountain, there is an army that is waiting, that is armed to their teeth, and they're coming to attack you, will you believe me? The Quraysh said, of course we will believe you, O Amin, O Sadiq. You are the most truthful, most trustworthy person amongst us, and if you have to say that there's an army that is waiting behind you, that is waiting to attack us, we will definitely believe you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have something greater to mention to you. That after this life, there is another life that's called the life of the akhirat. Where every person will have to stand before Allah, and every person will have to give an account of his deeds. And only those who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will be successful in the life of the akhirat. It was on this occasion that Abu Lahab, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm, destruction to you for the rest of the day. He cursed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then Allah cursed him and said, Tabbat yada abi lahabi watab. And these ayat were revealed till the day of Qiyamah, Abu Lahab will be cursed. But the very first da'wat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, an open da'wat, open declaration, was prepare yourself for the life of the akhirat. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam was a great wise person. He was known to be Luqman the wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed a surah in the Quran al-Kareem called Surah Luqman, where the advices of Luqman alayhi salam has been recorded. Luqman alayhi salam mentions to his son, and he says, O my son, I advise you to keep your face always focused to the akhirat, and keep your back always focused to the dunya, because you are moving towards the life of the akhirat, and your back every day is moving away from the dunya. Every breath that you take, every step that you take, you are moving one step closer towards akhirat. So let it not be that the angel of death catches you in a situation where your back is towards akhirat and your face is towards the dunya. Focus of akhirat, thinking about akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem, so beautifully Allah ta'ala asks us a question, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Ulama ikram, they translate this word بَلْ as why. Allah is asking us lovingly, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Whereas the akhirat is better for you and is everlasting. So lovingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, why is it that we're giving preference to this worldly life? My respected elders and brothers, Akhirat is something that we're supposed to be speaking about all the time. Daily, every day, this word akhirat must be on our tongue. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is, days pass, weeks pass, sometimes months pass, the word akhirat doesn't even pass through our ears. The word akhirat doesn't even come on our tongues. We're so busy in our worldly engrossments that we forget that there's a life like the akhirat. There was a jamaat in our masjid. And one brother was mentioning in the talk over there, he was saying that sometimes a person speaks about a country that we've never been to, perhaps Dubai. He speaks about Dubai. We've never been to the country. We don't know what it's all about. But a picture comes in our mind. We immediately picture the palm trees, the hotel, maybe the beaches, the malls, the airport, the Emirates flight. Something about Dubai will come in our mind. Although we haven't been there, we've never seen the country. But because we speak so much, we read so much, we see so much, the picture of that is in our mind. Someone speaks to us about America. We've never been to America. We don't know what America looks like. When you speak about America, some picture comes in our mind. Statue of Liberty, or the Twin Towers, or the dollar, the Pentagon, or something of America will come to our mind. We've never been to the country. But because we speak, we read, we see, we talk, a picture comes into our mind. Why is it that when we speak about Akhirat, our minds are blank? There's no picture that comes in our mind. It's because we don't speak about it. We don't talk about it. We don't discuss it. Whether it's with our children, with our families, at our workplace, with our relatives, with our friends. This is supposed to be a topic that we're speaking about all the time, the topic of Akhirat. The Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has written one kitab. It's called Fazail al-Sadaqat. This kitab, beginning to end, discusses all aspects of Akhirat. And our ulama kiram have mentioned that this kitab must be read in our homes every day. In our madrasa, from the mimbar every day after Fajr Salah. Every day after Fajr Salah, from the mimbar, this kitab is read. Why? To conscientize the students of the life after death. That don't forget where you're heading to. In our homes, every day this kitab must be read. Alhamdulillah, recently the Jamiatul Ulama has now prepared it with simple English. That makes it simple and easy for a young child to understand it. And as a father, it's our responsibility to teach them about Akhirat. To conscientize them about Akhirat. We've taught them enough as far as dunya is concerned. How to count, how to read, how to write. Send them to school, varsity, whatever. Have we taught them enough about Akhirat? Have we brought our children up to such a level where they know and they understand that there's a life that is coming after this life, the life of the Akhirat? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, "Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi." That person who loves the dunya, he's definitely going to cause some harm to his Akhirat. "Waman ahabba akhiratahu adarra bi dunyahu." And he who loves the Akhirat, he's definitely going to cause some harm to his dunya. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. This doesn't mean that a person has to divorce himself from the dunya completely, just give up his job, close his shop. It doesn't mean this. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never stopped a person from doing business, from earning the dunya. Of course a person can earn. He can earn how much he wishes. But not in such a way that it takes him away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not so much that a person goes so engrossed in the dunya that he forgets Allah ta'ala completely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Make a moderate effort. Make a moderate effort. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said, make a mad effort. Make a crazy effort. Such an effort where 24-7 you don't know whether you're coming or you're going. You don't know what's family life. You've never seen your children grow up. You got no time to spend with your wife. You don't know what's the masjid all about. Perhaps you just come in on a Friday. Don't make a mad effort, a moderate effort. أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. And then place your trust in Allah. Make a moderate effort and then place your trust in Allah Ta'ala. A friend of mine's got a business. Business is doing very well. From his business, all his expenses are paid. House, lights, water, car, everything. Every year he takes his whole family, he goes for Umrah from the business. Never touched interest ever in his life. Every second year he's buying a brand new car. He's living a comfortable life. Clothing, children, everything is covered completely. Now, another shop came up. So he calls it an opportunity. He can call it an opportunity. call it greed. Your needs are taken care of. So now this other business came up, supermarket, thinking to himself, you know, let me take this. Let me take this one also. So he make mashwara with his father. Discussed it with his father. His father told him, "Bhai, you got everything here in the shop. It's one business. All your expenses are coming out. Allah Ta'ala is taking care of all your needs. You're reading your 5 times namaz with jamaat in a masjid. Every month you're going out 3 days in jamaat. What you need, what more do you need in your life?" He says, "But Abba, this is an opportunity." But it's not an opportunity, it's greed. Allah Ta'ala has taken care of his needs. He went, he took that business on. Against the mashwara of his father. Took the business on. Now when he got into the business, obviously he can't be in two shops at the same time. He's either going to be in this business or he's going to be in this business. So now he's running between this one and that one. When he got into this business, he realized his business is sinking. Now he needs to take from this business and try and pick up this business. And he's running between the two shops. He doesn't, can't make ends meet. Now both businesses are sinking. Now who are you blame for this? Why greed? A person couldn't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala enough that Allah Ta'ala took care of all my needs. But when dunya becomes a purpose in a person's life, and he's got one direction only, and he forgets about everything. All he needed was just to remain content. Ajmilu fi talab wa tawakkalu alayh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him in the starting, just make a moderate effort, place your trust in Allah. Understand you're not going to be here forever. All your needs are taken care of. All you have to do is just make shukr to Allah Ta'ala and carry on. But this is what happens. My respected elders and friends, this aspect of akhirat, for us to keep it in our hearts, to imprint it in our minds, to understand that we are just temporary and we're going to leave one day. A person has to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and he has to answer to Allah Ta'ala for his deeds. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hakimul Ummat, a very, very great scholar. We've heard his name on several occasions. He mentions on one occasion I had to go on a train. And when I entered the station and I boarded the train, the station master came to me and he told me, "Maulana, I recognize you, you're a very great alim, you're a senior person. You don't have to buy a ticket. You just sit in your place. I will make sure that you go through without having to purchase a ticket." Maulana smiled at him and said, "Bhai, you are in charge of the station. You are not the owner of the station. You cannot discount my ticket. I will have to purchase a ticket and enter this train." He says, "Maulana, no one will question me." So he says, "Okay." Then Maulana tells him, "But see, where I'm going to, from there there's another train that I need to take to go to the next station." So the station master says, "Maulana, I know the station master in that station as well. I will inform him that he mustn't charge you and he must allow you to go further." Then Maulana smiled and he said, "From that station, there's another station that I have to go to." So the station master says, "Maulana, there's no station after that. The track stopped there. There is no station after this." Maulana says, "There's one more station. The station of the Akhirat. That's the station where I will have to stand before Allah. And I will have to answer to Allah Ta'ala that you boarded the train and you never paid for the ticket. What answer am I going to stand, give in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day?" Consciousness of Akhirat in the heart of a person, every step of the way he knows I have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person is taking his children, is going to the zoo. He's going to see animals in the zoo. There's a sign that says 50 rand per person, children under 10 is free. You got a 12-year-old that looks like a 9-year-old. Just nudge him and tell him, you know what, when you go there, tell him you're 9 years old. The child is 12 years old. You're telling him, just say you're 9 years old because he looks small in build. That cashier is not going to ask him for his birth certificate, to produce his birth certificate and ask him what's his age. So the child went there and he said, "I'm 9 years." He told him, "Okay, go, you're free. It's free for you to go." You're smiling and you walked into the zoo. Wallahi, you sold your iman for a lousy 50 bucks. You sold your iman for a lousy 50 rand. Why? Because that consciousness of akhirat is not in front of us. We're not even realizing that we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala for all of this. We lied. We taught our child how to lie. Maulana Katani Sahab was in a madrasa the other day. He was telling us that he was going out to the masjid when Musalli gave him a lift. Musalli is telling him that Maulana, is a new car I bought. So Maulana asked him, "Brand new, second hand?" He said, "Second hand. How much on the clock?" "There's 150 kilometers on the clock." "It's like a brand new car, 150 kilometers. He said, "No, actually it's not 150 kilometers. I just disconnected the odometer so that when I sell the car, I'll get a better price for it." So you can deceive the customer. You can lie to him. But Allah's qasam, we have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala. How much are we going to be deceiving? How much are we going to be lying? Person is standing at the receiving, he's receiving his goods. There's 100 boxes that came in, he signs there for 98, and he gives a slip back. The driver doesn't check it, he goes back, he makes a claim for 2 more boxes. He's smiling to himself that he earned more. But how? Through lies and deception. Forgetting that we have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala one day and answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our deeds. My respected elders and friends, the importance of akhirat, to speak about it, to know it, to understand it, to be conscious of it, that one day we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala for all our deeds. We can get away here in this dunya, we can't get away in akhirat. Our ulama-i-kiram explained it with regards to this akhirat, to create this consciousness in ourselves. There's some things that we all have to do, and one is to think about death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before you really die. Means think about death. All the time think about it. There's people dying every day. Sometimes it's a young person, sometimes it's an old person. Malakul Maut doesn't look to say that, oh, this person came first. He's a great-grandfather, then a grandfather, then a father, then a son, then a great-grandson. So when it's time to go, then he'll take the great-grandfather first. No. He'll take the great-grandson first. The great-grandfather is still alive. The grandson is gone. Malakul Maut doesn't look. We're going to die one day. We have to stand before Allah. Every one of us. No one is going to be here forever. Think about it all the time. Mutu qabla an tamutu. The second thing that our ulama say is this fazail-e sadaqat, this kitab, we must read it everywhere in the work of dawat and tabligh. This is part of the curriculum, the part of the syllabus. Every jamaat that goes out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they read this kitab. Why? To keep on speaking and talking and discussing about akhirat. And the third thing that our ulama kiram say that we all should do is, we should visit the qabristan. And amongst the sunan of the day of Jummah is that we must visit the graveyard. Go there in the qabristan and look. There's my family, there's my relative, this is my father, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is so and so. This. A time comes in your life where you know more people in the graveyard than you know in the masjid. Because slowly the time is coming when we're going to join them also. Person visits the graveyard, he becomes conscious about this. Conscious about akhirat. And lastly, we should always invest. Invest our time, our efforts in akhirat. Whenever we get a chance, whether it's towards a masjid, a madrasa, sponsoring some student of deen, we've got some investment. The day we go there, we've got something to fall back onto. Our investments of the akhirat. Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Mirati Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention that the people of Medina Munawwara were such that when they would reach the age of 40, then they would say, enough is enough. We've done enough for dunya. They would now spend all their time in the haram in Medina Munawwara. And they would spend day and night reciting durood, reciting Quran and Kareem. And they would say, we have done enough for dunya, now we're doing for our akhirat. Now we're preparing for our akhirat. My dear brothers, a time has to come in our lives. We understand that now we have to start preparing for our life after death. We have to go back to Allah, we have to answer to Allah. Let it be that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with a pleasant mort, a pleasant death with Iman and Islam. And that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is happy with us. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir ta'ala.